Today on Brave, a message from Jeff Schwarzentraub.
The tongue loves to make great boasts, and it always comes through those things that are insecure in our life. So speak with responsibility, speak with intentionality, and speak with humility. One of the evidences Christ is in you is that your speech will begin to change because God is going to continue to work on your heart.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. How important are your words? Do you take what you say very seriously, or do you feel like it's what's inside that really matters? Well, in Matthew chapter 15, verse 18, Jesus said, "But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them." And today on Brave, Pastor Jeff emphasizes how our words reflect the state of our heart. He's giving us steps to make sure that what we say aligns with what we believe as we continue our new series about what it takes to be an authentic follower of Christ called Walk Your Talk. And let me remind you, you can always revisit and share these Bible lessons with friends and family at bravemedia.online. For today's lesson, we're looking in James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Now, here's Pastor Jeff with today's message.
If we're going to walk our talk, our speech is really important as to how we're going to do it. So I'm using the text this morning to show us how it is that we should speak so that we have handles on how God wants us to grow with Him. So I'm going to give you five handles this morning as to how you can talk your walk. And the first is this. God wants us to speak with responsibility, realizing words have consequences. Notice what He says. "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such, we will incur a stricter judgment." He says, when it comes to teaching, especially those who are going to teach in the church, "Let not many of you presume that I'll just teach." Because if you're going to speak in this place, you're speaking on behalf of God. And anytime we speak on behalf of God, there's a stricter judgment. Why? Because we're telling God's people, this is what God's saying. We better be sure that this is what God's saying. Notice what the Lord says in verse 2. He says, "For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well." In other words, if you can control the tongue, you can control it all, right? The Bible says, where there are many words, sin is not absent. So he who guards his lips is wise. That's Proverbs 10:19. If you speak for a living, you're gonna sin. If you're a parent and you're talking to your kids, you're gonna sin. If you're a husband, you're gonna sin. If you're a wife, you're gonna sin. If you're a child, you're gonna sin. If you open your mouth, you're gonna sin. Because the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if you could control everything, then you'd be perfect. And the Bible says no one's perfect, so we've all sinned. And our words, they have consequences, don't they? They have consequences in this life, and they also have consequences in what's coming in the next life. So watch what you say, he says. Speak responsibly. If you are born again, one of the evidences that you're born again is that your tongue will start to be tamed. One of the evidences that you're born again is that you will begin to speak differently than how you spoke before you were saved. Number two is this. Speak with intentionality. Speak with intentionality, knowing you set direction. He said, "Now, if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires." The tongue gives direction to your life, and the tongue gives direction to the lives of those around you. It sets in course what goes on. I'm saying that words matter, and when you're intentional about the words, it sets direction for the people that you're talking to. He tells us this, "Speak with humility by elevating God and others." Notice what he says. He says, "So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts great things." That tiny muscle in your mouth controls everything about who you are, and it boasts great things. He says, "See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire? It only takes a small spark, and you can set a whole forest on fire." He says, here's what the tongue's like. The tongue's like a fire. the very world of iniquity or sin. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body. The tongue is what you have to control and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. What does the devil go after in your life? What does he want to use? Your tongue. I mean, think about all the ways in which you're tempted to speak negative things about God or people, right? God wants us to be humble. God wants us to be humble. God wants us to elevate him. He wants us to elevate others. Now, here's how we stay humble. Here's how we stay humble. Remember this, God made you. You didn't make yourself. Psalm 139 tells us that you were formed in your mother's womb by God and that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God put you together just the way you are. God gave you your DNA. God's the one that breathed life into you. God's the one that gave you everything. And God has ordained all of your days before one of them even came to be. The fact you were born to the parents that you were born to, in the era that you were born in, and have the amount of days that you have, God already constructed that. And let me tell you what that means. You had nothing to do with it. So no need to brag about how you got to planet Earth and what you're gonna do, right? Number two, not only did God made you, if you're a Christian, God's the one who saved you. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 says this, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. So not only did God place you here, not only did God design you, not only did God bring you into this world, if you're a believer, God did all that too. God's the one who awakened your eyes to knowing that Jesus is the Christ, and God is the one through his Holy Spirit that saved you, and that had nothing to do with you either. So don't brag about why you're so spiritual, because God did all that. Number three, God's the one who's destined you. Not only did he make you, not only did he save you, he's the one who destined you. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for it's by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not your own doing. It's a gift of God, so that no one should boast. But then what's it say in the next verse? For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. So you can't even pat yourself on the back for good works, because any good work that you do that Christ does through you, he already designed all those good works for you before you were even created. So he gets credit for all that too. In other words, what are you gonna brag about? God's the one who's done it all. I think it's 1 Timothy 6, 7 says, for you brought nothing into this world and you can take nothing out of it. It has nothing to do with us. Now, how many times have you been in a conversation where people are name dropping or bragging or talking about where their kids go to school or what grades they got or all these different things or who they hang out with or what their influence is or what their bank account looks like? Why? I mean, don't you just kind of want to say sometimes, bro, you're nothing. You didn't come into this world. God's the one's going to take you out. I mean, why are you talking about you? You're the only one that cares. And here's what happens. If we're not firmly rooted in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we will find insecurities and prides and things and comparisons that spring up where we feel less than, and we want other people to know that we're special. And what comes out of our mouth is, don't you recognize me? But let's be real here. I mean, just think about how many times these things spring up in your heart where you want to be recognized and you want to be known and you wish that if only they could, and how come they don't treat me that? Who cares? I mean, if you don't care about outcome, if all you do is care that God gets honored and people get preference, then it works. And isn't that what Jesus taught us? Didn't Jesus tell us to love our neighbor even as he loved us? Didn't Jesus tell us in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 40, here's the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Here's how you can speak with humility. When you're speaking in such a way to honor the Lord in everything that you say, as if Jesus is standing right there with you or working in and through you and giving preference to what you're saying and agreeing with what you're saying. So you're honoring him and you're preferencing others. You're putting other people ahead of you. Every single time, then that's how you're living in humility. I want to make sure God gets honored and they get preferenced. That's all I care about. Now, if that's really all we ever cared about, and we already read that none of us is perfect, so that's not all we care about, but if that's all we cared about, we could live with humility. As long as God's getting honored today and other people are getting preferenced, I'm good. In my marriage, as long as God's getting honored and my spouse is getting preferenced, it's all good. With my kids, as long as God's getting honored and they're getting preferenced, it's all good. In my job, as long as God's getting honored and my employees or employer is getting preference, it's all good. Do you see how hard it is to live with humility? Because there's something that goes off in our heart where we get tempted and say, well, recognize me and know who I am and believe that I'm special. Make sure you're giving me kudos and make sure, and that doesn't come from God, right? So that's why he tells us the tongue loves to make great boasts, right? And it always comes through those things that are insecure in our life. So speak with responsibility, speak with intentionality, and speak with humility. I mean, those are three handles. I mean, we could even stop right there and be like, that's enough to work on for a while. But he goes on. God gives us even more. He tells us, number four, he tells us to speak with dependency, trusting God to change your heart. Notice what he says. He says, for every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. He says this, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Now you think about all the wild animals out there, they're all tameable, right? You can go to the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo and see creatures you would never want to meet personally, right? You can see a mountain lion, you can see chimpanzees, you can see hippopotamus, you can see elephants, you can see all these different creatures, and they've all been tamed. They're all in a man-made environment. They're told when they're gonna eat, how they're gonna eat. Tigers, lions, bears, they're all there. It's all good. Fun to go see them. But if I woke up tomorrow morning and there was a Komodo dragon in my bedroom, I wouldn't be thinking, oh, I can tame all the animals. I would run. And here's what it says. God is telling you, you can tame every animal. Even the wildest of animals can be tamed. But you cannot tame the tongue. There's an impossibility of taming this muscle in your mouth. Unless what? Unless you've been born again. Unless you're depending upon the Lord. Because the gospel makes clear that the gospel is Christ in you, the hope of glory. One of the evidences Christ is in you is that your speech will begin to change. Why? Because God is going to continue to work on your heart. That's what he does. And how do we grow? Because you can't try to change your tongue. I mean, I get introduced to people sometimes as their pastor, and usually it goes something like this. If I'm out playing golf or doing something else, it's usually on the back end of somebody saying a bad word, or I'm coaching and somebody says a bad word, and then somebody mentions, oh, this guy over here, he's a pastor. And then what happens is what? Oh, I'm so sorry. And I've said this before, but I don't always say it. But sometimes I'll say, don't worry about it. You can't help it anyway. And what I mean by that is if you don't have Christ on the inside, nothing's gonna change on the outside. You can't help yourself. It's just who you are. It's just your nature. Only Christ can tame your tongue, because only Christ can change your heart. You have to lean in and depend upon the Lord. Like, when's the last time the Lord's convicted you about something that you said? You say, well, it's been a while. Well, then you haven't been depending upon the Lord. Because chances are, if you search the Lord and you go into time of prayer with him and say, Lord, search me and try me, see if there's any offensive way. Is there any way I've spoken? Is there any tone I've used? Is there any relationship I had? Is there anything I've said to anybody that would be displeasing to you? The Lord's good at pointing that out, right? And that's where we need to repent, and that's where we need to ask forgiveness, and where we can make changes, we need to make changes. And it's not just, oh, I'm sorry, but it's, I'm sorry, and I'm gonna work to be better at that because that was wrong. And what I said was wrong, and you need to know that it was wrong, and I feel badly about that. And then there's other times where, guess what? We need to forgive others. Because sometimes we hold other people to a higher standard than we're willing to hold for ourselves. And if people said mean or hurtful things about you, forgive them. Pray blessing over them. Ask God to change your heart towards them, right? That's what it means to live dependently. That's what it means to live with Christ in you, the hope of glory. And it's the only way that this works. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul says it like this. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I can't change my tongue, but Jesus Christ in me can change everything. I'm just a man of God telling you what God says, and this is the truth. I'm not perfect, but I'm increasingly growing in it. Right? And that's what God wants us to see. I remember being in college when I played football, and I had grown up using colorful language when I played, right? And I remember after becoming a Christian and I was in college, I had a guy that was in our Bible study, and he asked me, why do you speak like that? He's like, because you call yourself a Christian and you talk like that, that's not congruent. And I was like, well, what do I do? And he's like, well, you should pray about it. And God began to change my tongue, where I didn't talk the same way anymore. And I knew it wasn't me, because I could feel the restraining power of the Spirit when there were words wanting to come out of my mouth that were just natural, that didn't come out of my mouth anymore, right? God can change your heart. God can change your tongue. God can change your life. but it requires dependency. Yes, it's great that we gather once a month as a church to seek God in prayer. Yes, it's great as a staff. We meet every single week and we pray, and we're all about prayer, but there needs to be individual times of prayer before the Lord too, where you're asking the Lord, Lord, is there anything in my heart that's not right, where things are coming out of my mouth that aren't benefiting others the way that they need to? So that all my speech would be seasoned with salt and full of grace, so it would benefit everybody who listens, right? Because we in the church, we make up excuses for God's standards all the time. Hey, I'm not gossiping to you. I need to tell you this so you can pray about it. No, it's gossip. If they're not there, it's gossip. Well, I don't gossip, but I'm a very comfortable place for people that want to talk. Well, you're a gossip too. Because it takes two people to gossip, one to listen and one to speak. And it's all about the heart, right? And this is convicting for us as Christians, because what we talk about is honoring others and church attendance and serving and being in a small group and giving and all these different things. And God's like, yeah, that's all good. That's all good. That's all good. I care about your heart, and your tongue is reflective of what your heart actually believes. That's what the Lord tells us. When you're around people, they speak about Jesus. When you're around people, they speak about football. When you're around people, they speak about their job. They speak about money. They speak about their kids. They speak about their spouse. Like, they speak about their dating life. Like, what are they? You can tell what they're worshiping just by what's coming out of their mouth. They worship their health. You know, what is it? They worship their retirement. They worship the travel. Like, what are they talking about, right? And God tells us that we need to be dependent upon him, because he's the only one that can change our heart. And the good news is that he can. I mean, the good news is, I mean, as I've read this so many times this week, in the last week, you know, you think like, okay, I'm good if I just never talk again. But God says, no. It's not about not talking again. It's about you talking, but talking responsibly. And you talking intentionally. And you talking with humility. And you talking dependently, leaning on me. And then this final one he gives, this final handle here is, when you speak, speak consistently. Speak consistently, growing as a faithful witness. God wants you to speak consistently. Notice what verse 9 and following says. Speak consistently. He talks about the tongue, after he talks about it being evil and full of deadly poison. He says, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. He says, you can be in church singing hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen, brother and sister, and 5 minutes later, ripping somebody up with your tongue and cutting them to shreds. With the same tongue that you said praise the Lord is the same tongue you're destroying the one that the Lord created. He says, how can this be? How can this be? Here's what he's saying. Have consistency in your walk. You know, we talk about not being a Christian chameleon, where you're with this group one way and you're with this group over here and you're with that group. Same is true of your speech. Can you consistently speak in all the venues that you're in? This is what I believe. This is why I believe it. This is who I am. Because that's who I am. And I'm going to speak consistently that way. Notice what he goes on to say. He gives an analogy. He says, does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. He said, you're either one or the other. You don't want to go to a drinking fountain and try to guess, is it going to be salty or is it going to be water? Or is it going to come out a little bit of both? I mean, when you go to a drinking fountain, you want it to be fresh. When you go to your refrigerator, you want it to be fresh. He says, be consistent in what you are saying. Jesus said it like this. He said, you'll know a tree by its fruits. In Matthew chapter 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, he says this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 18. He says, a good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Now, the reality is we can't produce fruit in our own life. I can't make myself fruitful. I can't make myself more loving or more joyous. I can bear fruit by allowing my dependency on Christ to grow me and my consistency with Christ to complete what he has begun in my life. But make no mistake about it, if you are born again, God will begin to control your tongue. Not perfectly, but increasingly. And if you seek him, he will show you conversations that you had that if you can have a do-over, he will give you the opportunity. Remember when you're a kid and you're playing sports in the backyard and nobody could figure out what call to make? Oh, do-over. You get a do-over. We're going to repitch that. It's a do-over. God can give you one better than a do-over. God's grace is better than a do-over. He can wash the slate clean from your past and you can start fresh from where you are right now. Isn't that good news this morning? That's what God does with the tongue. And by the way, this is not just being good and being responsible and being intentional, but all those things mean, sometimes it means speaking up and speaking out for others that can't too. Like when we see things in our world that just aren't right, it means I'm being responsible and I'm being intentional. I'm going to do it with humility and dependence upon the Lord, but I'm going to speak up and speak out that that's wrong. And that's loving too. That's honoring the Lord. I mean, if you study the ministry, Jesus' earthly ministry, you'll see everything he said was intentional and responsible and humble and dependent on his Father. Of, you only see me doing what I see my Father doing, and you see complete consistency. And that's why when people read different things that he did, like when he, you know, made a cord of three strands and drove people out of the temple and said, oh, he was an angry Jesus that day. That wasn't very good. No, he was responsible. He was intentional. He was humble. He was dependent. And what was he doing? He was standing up and he was speaking out against those who were going against his dad. And he said, my Father's house will be called a house of prayer. You've made it a den of thieves. And I love you enough to tell you that. And he was doing it all right. It doesn't mean that we're mundane and we just, I'm a Christian and here's what I think. I can't have any emotion. I have to be. That's not what it means. It means I'm being very intentional and responsible about what I say and how I say it and what I do and what I don't do and when I don't speak, right? And there's times you need to have restraint. There's times it's like, don't say anything. Sometimes if you're married, don't say anything. Sometimes with your kids, don't say anything. Why? Because where there are many words, sin is not absent. Don't try to win the argument. Sometimes it's best restrain. Extroverts, I'm talking to you, okay? But sometimes there's that, those times where it's like, I see this, I see this, I see it. Somebody's got to say something. How come nobody's saying? Say it. Say it. Speak the truth in love, but say it. Say it. We got too many people that are hiding behind truths that aren't willing to say what God is actually saying that needs to be said. And in your sphere of influence, say it. And then grow consistently. So when people are around you, they know, I know what she believes. I know what he believes. I know what that young boy believes. I know what that young girl believes, because every single place they are, that's who and what they're talking about. They're consistent in their walk with Jesus. Now, these five handles are things that we can grow in. As we depend upon the Lord, we can grow in our intentionality. We can grow in our responsibility, our humility, and our consistency with the Lord so that we can speak up for Christ. Now, I know this is a convicting message, and the reason I know that is because the Lord's been speaking to me for the last 2 weeks specifically about all these things, right? But it's not to put you down or shame you, because we already said no one can keep it perfect. If you could make your tongue perfect, then everything about you would be perfect. But I know one who is perfect, and his name is Jesus. And if you've turned from your sin and invited Christ into your life, he's in you, and he can perfect what is not perfect in you. He can make right what's been wrong if and only if you'll get right with him.
You're listening to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, and the end of a message titled Talk Your Walk, part of our new series in the book of James called Walk Your Talk. And if you've missed any part so far and you'd like to learn more about Pastor Jeff and Brave, head to bravemedia.online. We also invite you to connect with our growing online community over social media. You'll find us on Facebook and Instagram when you log in and search for Brave Church Denver. Here at Brave, we've taken bold steps to create this ministry and make our daily Bible teachings widely available to help you grow in your walk of faith. And if you'd like to pay it forward and help others receive the same spiritual support, do that right now by making a financial gift to our ministry. Step up and help us keep these gospel lessons on the air by clicking the Donate tab at our website, bravemedia.online, or call us at 360-552-7283. That's 360-552-7283. You can also send a check in the mail right to Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. And if you're in the Denver area, visit us in person for weekend services at Brave Church. We'd be thrilled to see you this weekend at any of our three campuses in Englewood, Westminster, and our newest campus in Colorado Springs. If you're listening from elsewhere, join us through our live stream. You'll find all the details to attend or stream weekend services at bravemedia.online. Just scroll to the bottom of our homepage and click the button labeled Brave Church. I'm your host, Bill Carl, inviting you back tomorrow for the next part of our Walk Your Talk series in James. Pastor Jeff is helping us crack the code to unlocking true wisdom in our lives with a message titled Wisdom Works. So listen tomorrow, right here on Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.